War with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. And it's been said if we lose that war, and in so doing lose this way of freedom of ours, history will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening. Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers. Not too long ago, two friends of mine were talking to a Cuban refugee, a businessman who had escaped from Castro. And in the midst of his story, one of my friends turned to the other and said, "We don't know how lucky we are." And the Cuban stopped and said, "How lucky you are. I had some place to escape to." And in that sentence, he told us the entire story. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and the most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. This is the issue of this election. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between...
That's it, right there. That's it. And it's interesting how it sounded on my end like it was buffering there at the end. This is the issue. It's always the issue, whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little technocratic intellectual elite in a far distant capital, probably offshore at this point, can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. You know, it's an odious concept, as John Adams put it. He used the word odious, and there are charms in the idea, the notion that, you know, people that we revere, and can confide in, there are charms in that concept, you know, electing those folks for which men will fight. And the danger that we run right now, the risk that we run, is losing sight of these things. For example, that Ronald Reagan talked about there, losing touch with those, losing grip of those, and then as they flee from our grasp to think, oh gosh, you know, I could have done more. I think we all could agree we could all do more. I certainly will speak for myself and say I need to do more. And so hopefully, you know, we will be courageous, if not for ourselves, then for posterity's sake, shall we say. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Monday, June 1st, 2020. And as I was saying, Jim, I'm curious. I would imagine others are curious, you know, what is the general state of things in your backyard these days?
Well, I have to tell you, I live in this insulated Hasidic community here in Brooklyn. And other than what I hear on the radio and TV, I don't really know much more about it than you do. Except that some of the I'm very disappointed with the local news. There are a lot of things that happen that I hear from other sources that aren't, they just don't get reported. You know, bottles of urine, and one day reporting one policeman got hit with a brick, etc. I can't really tell you much more about it. I'm familiar with the market center. I've been there plenty of times. It's a major underground, it's a major hub for about eight different subway lines, and Long Island Railroad are underneath. But I haven't been there in a while, except passing mm-hmm. through on the subway. Let's say before I go, you know, I've been talking to you about my tour of the New York Federal Reserve Bank.
I'm not sure.
It's just a sideline of curiosity. Before 911, you could make an appointment to sign up for a tour of the New York Federal Reserve. And I made my appointment, and mm-hmm. I showed up.
Actually, yes, I do remember that story now, yes.
Yeah, okay, so I won't go again. It's not really directly addressed. But there's one thing about that. I might have mentioned this too, but it's very, very curious, and it's really true. I'm sure you read Zero Hedge, right?
Occasionally, yes.
Yeah, I used to read it all the time. Anyhow, they had an article in there. I guess you could look it up. It must have been 6 or 7, maybe 9 years ago, about a curious thing. The Federal Reserve, you know, is downtown near Wall Street. On these, you know, these streets are very narrow, off of the main, like Broadway, and the up and down streets. You have these little tiny streets that, you know, some of them go back to colonial days, okay? Or anyhow, or post-colonial. And of course, people know that Wall Street is named because it was actually a wall protecting the colonists from the Indians. There's a little street on one of the streets that the Federal Reserve, it covers like basically a large triangular block. And they reported that there's a big bank next door across this little tiny street from the Federal Reserve. It's a private bank of some sort, but the fact is that under that bank, there's a large plaza next to that bank, right across from the Federal Reserve. And they said under that plaza is a vault with gold owned by the communist Chinese government. But not only that, but there's a little tunnel. And this is there's a little tunnel that goes between the Federal Reserve and the Chinese gold stash. And they didn't say exactly what's going on, but it's like these little carts, like hand trucks or small motorized lorries, can go back and forth between the Federal Reserve Bank and the Chinese stash. And you could look it up somehow on their search engine on Zero Hedge. It's a curiosity, and it's really sort of like really suspicious. So I invite you to look that up about that. Put in some of those keywords what I mentioned.
Well, I suspect that, you know, if we dug in, there's a lot of what I would call sort of medieval or, you know, antiquated and analog technology that is still maintained, you know, for bad guys, because, you know, it's really untrackable and untraceable, while the rest of us need to become good digital global citizens.
Yeah, and just one side issue. I said this already once. They told us that at the prison that they have a standing army somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 automatic armed people or semi-automatic. They have a standing army in that particular building because, of course, they have all that gold from different countries in the sub-basin about 100 feet or something below ground level. And, That's the main bank over there. I think there was once a movie with who was that guy? Bruce Willis. That Robin that told that they went through the subway into the vault or something like that. I forgot which one it was. Mm-hmm. They had a movie about Robin that told that. Anyhow, so have a good day. Bye.
Thank you. Thanks, Jim. Much appreciated. I really think, folks, that the general sentiment ought to be that we are, you know, it's still my understanding it's representative government. There are all of these efforts to move, change, massage, and I would say the better course of action is just to return to the orthodoxy of the Constitution. You know, we haven't been following it for quite some time. Like I said, I think last week, most recently, as an academic matter, I think most people would agree that the, you know, the revolutionary period, so to speak, ended in 1865, and by about 1871, the remaking, the stabilization and reconstruction or stability operations domestically had been largely completed. And that's why by the turn of the 20th century, you have these weird precedents that, you know, took generations for the people to catch up. And by the 1930s, you know, you have cases like Erie Railroad versus Tompkins in 1938, where the Supreme Court rules that there is no federal general common law, which completely inverted cases like Swift versus Tyson, 1842, which is the major precedent that held, you know, that the common law is essentially the law of the land and not this administrative hijinks where, you know, we're constantly manipulating public opinion and perception management in these times, and then calling what most people think of lawmaking, you know, public policy, and those kinds of things that really are not rooted in fact or truth or reality. It's just a system that is completely off the rails in the interests of a very small pottery of folks. Really has nothing to do with the American people. But as I understand it, we still have these founding documents. And those who would say, well, you know, we should just, I mean, Jefferson mentioned in the Declaration of Independence that, you know, governments are instituted among men. You know, we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal, et cetera, you know, that to preserve these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And when that system goes off the rails, you know, it's the right of the people to abolish and to establish new forms, which, you know, to them seem to secure those interests. And before we start having that conversation, I think we should return to the orthodoxy, because I'm telling you, it's what I would call the Brer Rabbit argument. Bad guys would love to, they've been trying for generations to get rid of these founding documents and these people that are just, you know, have this indefatigable, so to speak, attachment to these concepts and these documents. However, you know, little of that we retain, whatever vestige of those attachments we retain, we still have that. And there's a reason that certain people want to move us away from those documents and those foundational precepts and tenets. And therefore, I think it stands to reason logically that maybe we should get knowledged up and become our own experts on those documents and on those concepts and start having those conversations. And like I always say, when that discussion arises, it reminds me of John Adams' dissertation on the canon and feudal law. And these days, the canon is the scientific or pseudoscience canon used to manipulate people. And like even Alan Watt pointed out, you know, a few weeks ago, it was entry he did the beginning of May, I want to say, first Sunday of May, where he talked about how, you know, while you still had religion, these guys have done a bang-up job of getting rid of religion almost entirely. And, you know, who was it? Is it Dinesh D'Souza who's saying, you know, I wonder how the Muslim community will go, and we'll see what happens. You know, because the Christians have been beaten overwhelmingly browbeaten and manipulated for over 100 years through interests like the World Council of Churches, National Council of Churches, infecting and polluting, you know, creating this denominational network. And even if you're non-denominational, you have to have some affiliation for certain benefits and things like that. So to create that system of pervasive and, again, largely imperceptible influence throughout these organizations, instead of just having people getting together and reading their Bibles and then sharing what the Holy Spirit imparts to them as a result, is very nefarious. And so that influence has been pervasive in America. I mean, really, when you come right down to it, if we can be honest, the World Council of Churches and National Council of Churches were initiated and guided and directed initially by satanic interests and influence, which, you know, is interesting. And, you know, it's unbiblical as an organization, because folks who read the New Testament know that the Bible clearly says that you don't need anyone to stand between you and God. And if you go back to the example in Exodus 20, the people, Moses comes down and says, "Well, guys, let's go talk to God." And they say, "What are you, nuts? You know, you talk to us, lest we perish." It's a bad thing to get people in between people and God. To come between a person and God is you're in a very dangerous, perilous position when you do that. But there are people who have orchestrated events and created systems and architecture to be able to do that, to maintain a buffer between the people and God, and to try to pollute, pervert, and infect the minds of people in this, call it an ideology, call it a religion, whatever, to try to mislead people, to lead them astray. And now what we have is you know, a largely neutered set of beliefs and practices. It sort of, you know, an emblematic example might be the 12-step program. We realized that we were powerless, really, because if you read the Bible and you just stick to that, in the New Testament you read this word called dunamis, which is the same word we get dynamite from. It's the explosive power of the Holy Spirit, but it's not the usual explosive destructive kind of power. You know, people talk about the Big Bang. Well, if something explodes into perfection, that's pretty unprecedented. And passages like Romans 8:28 talk about how God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Revelation 21:5 is a similar passage. Jesus in the perfect tense saying, "Behold, I make all things new," continually making all things new. So this is not something that you find characteristically in 501c3 World Council of Churches, National Council of Churches member organizations, because it's a neutered, watered down, so-called gospel or doctrine that they're preaching. And what happens is that suddenly becomes on par with this scientism. You know, so the canon now is not the canon of old, it is the pseudoscience canon. And as Alan Watt pointed out, you guys, you know, when you had religion, you used to be able to say, well, life is precious, it's priceless, the life of man is priceless, because look, our Bible tells us that, our sacred text tells us that. But when, as that starts to go away, he says, what are you going to do? Argue on logic? They control the language, and so good luck with that. And that's always a precursor. I've mentioned many times, go read Toynbee's Study of History, how he documents the great civilizations are brought down, you know, a pretext to the collapsing of great civilizations is to pollute and pervert the language. Maybe I should pull that up again, because most people don't realize that the transference of language that occurs, and it has been occurring in America, we can see the corrosive effects that it has, the destruction of virtue. And now, you know, vice and viciousness, which gets back to exactly where I was going. I'll probably go back to that next. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams corresponding back in 18. Well, we'll be right back.
With a foreclosure lawsuit or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction. A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Welcome back. What if it depended on you and I to put things right? What are we doing? You know, I keep saying recall them now. Don't wait till November. Why wait? Look what's happening. You know, everything that's happening is a surreptitious pretext for more authoritarian top-down control. Hardcore stuff. Military deployments are apparently rolling out, and everything is plausibly deniable. Remember when we used to have military hardware that was clearly demarcated? Now, you know, these images of things you see rolling on trains and things like, who knows what it is or where it is? you know, everything in managed theater. Speaking of those kinds of things, you know, so back just quickly before I get back to Jefferson and Adams corresponding back in 1819, 200 years ago, and it's interesting how prescient, I would say, their correspondence is. So, you know, speaking of things that have happened over the last week or, you know, the weekend in particular, it turns out the kind of population density the UN considers sustainable, and I'm using air quotes for population density and sustainable, maybe ain't such a good idea after all, because, you know, people are more prone to getting sick or getting and making each other sick, you know, spreading disease, which again is something those guys talked about 200 years ago. I've read Jefferson's remarks along those lines. If we start stacking up and piling up on each other like the folks over in England do, then, you know, we can expect to be sick too. Really? They knew that? Yeah, absolutely. You'd be astonished to discover, if you haven't already, how much was known, you know, and how little progress has been made. You know, I know digital progress has been made because Tesla's work was stolen largely by Raytheon, as I understand it, and others. But, you know, very little progress. I mean, there's the digital stuff, but beyond that, very little progress, I would say, has been made. There are a great many things that were known in those days, those times. So anyway, people are more prone to getting and making each other sick when they're stacked on top of each other. The riots and so forth, you know, the rioters, interesting, rioters probably aren't going to walk several miles to get to houses if they're, you know, widely dispersed. And that's another thing that's interesting. I saw a piece, mainstream news, maybe we'll play that in the next segment. Very interesting. What happened when the emotion dissipated and people actually had a chance to have conversation? Of course, this was people, you know, and again, who knows what you can believe, but what I understand to be the case was that peaceful protesters wanted to make a statement and say, we are not them, they are not us, these crazy insurrectionist, you know, rioting, looting, anarchist, you know, nihilistic forces that are probably bust in. People say, well, you know, they're not from outside the state. It doesn't matter if they're not from a local community, then they're not. They're outsiders. What are they doing? Why did they decide to go somewhere else? Why didn't they just walk outside their front door? And so anyway, that's interesting. But just another quick question, speaking of, you know, while I'm on the subject, if Antifa is officially designated a terrorist organization, why are there still so many social media accounts all over the place? Why were there any to begin with? Because we know how social media is cracking down on hate speech, don't we? And obviously the answer is clear. You know, I mean, it's, if that's not an obvious tell that this is ostensibly, or not ostensibly, but it's state-sponsored terrorism by proxy. You know, and you have the Albert Hakims of our day, like George Soros, who, you know, create organizations that are a little purse for essentially color revolutionary forces. And that's what this amounts to. You know, if you can't, if you want to hasten the, you know, regime change efforts, so to speak, and you don't want to go through conventional means because that's slow and mostly ineffectual, you can't, in a representative republic, you can't get people to agree on something, then all you do is fund these color revolutionary efforts, spark insurrection and chaos, and then, you know, paralyze the people. Oh my goodness, we have to do something to bring in the military, get these crazy people out of here. And in the process, your government gets swept away and remade. Hopefully we don't let that happen. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Do a couple of good news things before I do that. Jefferson and Adams corresponding. Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, more than 200 years ago, just over 200 years ago, 1819 corresponding. Which was, they were well on in years. They both passed away July 4, 1820, what was it, 26, I want to say, 24, 26, I forget exactly when. They're well on in years. So they're corresponding. And Jefferson writes to Adams from Monticello. December 10, 1819, he writes, "I have been amusing myself lately with reading the voluminous letters of Cicero. They certainly breathe the purest effusions of an exalted patriot, while the parricide Caesar is left in odious contrast. When the enthusiasm, however, kindled by Cicero's pen and principles subsides into cool reflection, I ask myself, what was the government which the virtues of Cicero were so zealous to restore and the ambition of Caesar to subvert? And if Caesar had been as virtuous as he was daring and sagacious, what could he, even in the plenitude of his usurped power, have done to lead his fellow citizens into good government? I do not say to restore it, because they never had it, from the rape of the Sabins to the ravages of the Caesars. If their people indeed had been, like ours, enlightened, peaceable, and really free, the answer would be obvious. Restore independence to all your foreign conquests. Relieve Italy from the government of the rabble of Rome. Consult it as a nation entitled to self-government, and do its will. But steeped in corruption, vice, and venality, as the whole nation was, and nobody had done more than Caesar to corrupt it, what could even Cicero, Cato, Brutus have done, had it been referred to them, to establish a good government for their country? They had no ideas of government themselves, but of their degenerate Senate, nor the people of liberty, but of the factious opposition of their tribunes. They had afterwards their Tituses, their Trajans, their Antoninuses, who had the will to make them happy and the power to mold their government into a good and permanent form. But it would seem as if they could not see the way clearly to do it. No government can continue good but under the control of the people. And their people were so demoralized and depraved as to be incapable of exercising a wholesome control. Their reformation, then, was to be taken up incunabulus. Their minds were to be informed by education what is right, what is wrong, to be encouraged in habits of virtue and deterred from those of vice by the dread of punishments, proportioned indeed, but irremissible, in all cases to follow truth as the only safe guide, and to eschew error, which bewilder us in one false consequence after another in endless succession. So these are the incalculations necessary to render the people a sure basis for the structure of order and good government. But this would have been an operation of a generation or two at least, within which period would have succeeded many Neros and Commoduses who could have quashed the whole process. And so there's more, but I mean, that to me is amusing, or a reflection that's sort of reminiscent of today, I think. You know, it reminds me of what we're experiencing today in a variety of ways. And so Adams responds from Montezillo, and he writes, among other things, that he wants to answer. He says, have you ever found in history one single example of a nation thoroughly corrupted that was afterwards restored to virtue? And without virtue, there can be no political liberty. Will you tell me how to prevent riches from becoming the effects of temperance and industry? Will you tell me how to prevent riches from producing luxury? Will you tell me how to prevent luxury from producing effeminacy, intoxication, extravagance, vice, and folly? When you will answer me these questions, I hope I may venture to answer yours. Yet all these ought not to discourage us from exertion. I believe no effort in favor of virtue is lost, and all good men ought to struggle both by their counsel and example. So I think there are lessons for us to learn in there. And speaking of that, may cooler heads prevail, and in an effort to encourage and foster that, here is one of the things I was thinking of, an interview with John Bussey, associate editor, Wall Street Journal. On this one's titled on YouTube, Fox News clip titled, Trump says U.S. will label Antifa as a terrorist organization, but that's not quite representative of the broader comments that John Bussey makes. So listen to this. Go ahead, please.
is an associate editor for the Wall Street Journal and a Fox News contributor. And John, the president has officially labeled Antifa domestic terrorists, and Attorney General William Barr just now issuing a statement expounding on the president's sentiments. So is President Trump's messaging hitting the right tone, or is it disjointed?
Well, I think you're seeing a lot of politics being played at this point with scant evidence to support it. The president is blaming somebody else for this problem. He's blaming the left, which is a popular target of the president. He's provided no evidence of that. Mind you, though, politics are being played on the other side as well. The Democratic governor of Minnesota is blaming the right, saying that white separatists are in the groups, they are fomenting violence. He, too, has not provided any evidence of that, though there seems to be some kind of indication that, yes, right-wing groups have played a role. Where the Republican president and the Democratic governor agree is that 80% or some vast majority of the looters and the rioters are coming from out of the troublemakers are coming from out of state, when in fact they're both wrong. The Associated Press tallied up the arrests that had been made through Saturday morning and found that the vast majority of people who have been arrested for looting and rioting are from in Minnesota. So I would just caution everybody to wait for the facts to come out to discount the president again blaming the left and the Democrats blaming the right. You know, they're always, Arthel, they're always going to be people who show up for a bar fight, right? Whether or not they know what the issue is or care about the issue. There are people who are violent, and they will take an opportunity to participate if they see an opportunity there, and they'll be looting. And that's what the National Guard and the police have got to separate away from the peaceful protests. But this is not a new problem in the United States. We've seen this happen before.
All right, so that sounds like cooler heads,
right? President Trump had already.
John Bussey, you can listen to the rest of that, and it's actually good. But I want to get to another one real quick. Speaking of cooler heads, and speaking of exactly what he said, you know, separating, not conflating groups. You know, there are folks who are probably genuinely upset and outraged, and rightfully so. But then, you know, that gets, you know, it's the counter gang concept again. You know, to hijack or create your own version of something if you want to vilify people, and then, you know, you mix those together, those get conflated, and then, you know, all legitimate and, you know, meritorious efforts are then besmirched. So here's an interesting clip from WCCO titled "Minneapolis Protesters Bond with Arresting Officers." Listen to this.
Let's go to Mike Max right now. He's been quiet for a while. Maxie, what's going on? You're still there at Bobby and Steve's.
Yeah. And you can see behind me the last of the people that are being that have been arrested are now awaiting their transportation to the Hennepin County Jail. And I got to tell you, I'm not making light of this situation or this week at all. But it has been one incredible study of sociology, psychology, and human behavior, especially the way that it ended here tonight. A peaceful protest gets tense. Eventually, they close in. There's tear gas and everything else. They arrest people. They were arrested how many hours ago now? 3 hours ago?
Mm-hmm.
And as they stood in line with handcuffs on, they begin in a strange way to bond with each other and even with the arresting officers. There's conversations, there's pictures being taken. The most incredible piece of humanity in a strange way that I've seen. And I think we've got some video as they stand in line. If we could roll it, you know, they're socializing. They've gotten so far past the passion and the intensity of the event today that they are now talking pragmatically about why they do, what they believe in, and the officers are engaging them in conversation. And it was incredible to see, and in a strange way uplifting. We had a chance to talk to and ask a couple of the people that had been arrested if it was all worth it and what their take was on this day. At the end of the day, was it worth it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have a message to send. We have a message to send. Hey, we are out here. We're peaceful. We are different from the from whoever's rioting. We are different from people breaking down buildings. We're out here. We just wanted to convey a message that we're not all the same. That we're not among they are them, we are us.
When was the point where you said you've accepted the fact that she'll be arrested?
I didn't accept the fact that there should be arrests. I just know this is something that we have to do. And if anyone, we were out protesting on the freeway. We are out here protesting on the freeway because we want to make a difference. And to people saying, hey, you can't protest on the freeway, you gotta go on the sidewalk. We don't have enough sidewalks in the city of Minnesota for tens of thousands of protesters, okay? We're going to protest on the street. We want to be heard. We're going to go where we're going to get attention, okay? That's how it is.
And at the end of the day, do you feel that the message was put out there the right way, and are you satisfied with what you guys accomplished?
I am. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied that we showed that we're not going to be beaten. We're not going to be beaten by any officers. We're not going to be beaten by law enforcement or our friends in the state patrol.
I got to ask one question about that. As this thing has evolved, we've all been standing here for a long time now, and I'm seeing more smiles and laughter than I think I've ever seen of people that are being arrested. There's almost a bond that's been established with the arresting officers and the people that have been arrested.
Exactly. At the end of the day, we're human. He's got a family. He's got friends. I've got a family. I've got friends. At the end of the day, we just want to go home to the people we love. I mean, we're human. We're citizens first. At the end of the day, he might be wearing a uniform. I'm not, but we can connect in any type, in any way. You know what I'm saying?
You've been here every
5 days. Yeah.
What have you learned?
I've learned that every person deserves love from other people. That's what I really have learned, and it's really opened my eyes. Like, I don't have no hate towards these police officers around me. I really don't. I just want everybody to come together and treat each other equally. Seriously.
Do you regret being arrested?
No, I don't. Like, I probably will, but right now, no.
And do you feel like you guys sent a message loud and clear? Were you effective in it or not?
I think our message was clear at first, and then it ended up being clouded. But at the end, our message is still the same. Black Lives Matter.
There you go. And it was strange and surreal as this week has evolved and what we saw today, and now we're seeing the ending of it. But I wanted to bring some of that to you, both those people from Minnesota, one from Andover and one from Northeast Minneapolis, because the perspective
those were local folks who showed up to protest and made the distinction. The gentleman, very articulate, and you got to see the video because they're standing next to, you know, these people are still apprehended. They're still under arrest. They're still zip tied. And I don't know. Again, who knows what you can believe? I want to believe this was not staged and orchestrated. You know, these are actual peaceful protesters and actual state patrol. And if so, we could take it at face value. It's interesting, you know, freezing the video or seeing it, the image. I believe the photo that they used for the YouTube video has the state patrol gentleman standing next to the gentleman that you heard. And I'm telling you, if that could break out, you know, if we could have a piece like that break out, you know, it's just interesting. I mean, these people were peaceful protesters to begin with, if we can believe that story. And obviously a lot of passion, a lot of emotion. And once that subsided and these people started talking, then you have something, I don't know, that is reminiscent to me of the Great American Experiment and sounds a lot like our founding documents and what I would call the Christian ethic, you know, of grace and mercy. And the problem that we run into when we start to drift away from that is that none of us are perfect. We are all flawed. We are all fallible. And we can at any given moment point at any one of, we can point at each other and say, aha, you're not perfect. Aha, you've made a mistake. Because it's true. We all make mistakes. And, you know, that's where the devil in the technocratic details wants to hang us with pseudoscience and say, see, you're not perfect, and therefore you must die. You must be executed in a kindly enough manner, as George Bernard Shaw would say. And so things like this, you know, again, that was titled Minneapolis Protesters Bond with Arresting Officers. This, I think, is encouraging. And who knows? So if it is incumbent upon you and I to take action, if it is, you know, if things are to be put right in America, if it depends on you and I, what are we doing? What can we do? What have we done in the interest of putting things right? Stick around, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Television signal.
Welcome back. Final segment of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. I really think that's kind of where, you know, we should be centered right now. What can we do? I mean, cooler heads prevail, not to get swept up in the emotion, particularly the fear, because that's not a good thing. And what right action can we take to put things right? Because there are a number of things that are wrong, but you have folks in government who are misbehaving and ought to be removed from office. And a number of curious things. I mean, why, you know, again, why are social media platforms silencing doctors? Why is YouTube deleting tenured, credentialed professionals, doctors with decades of experience, including on the front lines of what's been happening recently? Why are those videos getting deleted and fact-checked ad nauseum, while Antifa is posting all kind of, or you know, these accounts that are attributed to Antifa are posting all kinds of filth and viciousness and immoral, depraved kinds of things? Why are those accounts still, you know? And it's a curious, convenient pivot, as they call it, to have social media platforms talking about how, you know, we need to maintain, you know, a certain narrative. Essentially, we need to prevent fake news and what do they call it, the infodemic or whatever kind of goofy nonsense. I forget the most typical term, but you know, we need to prevent that. And then at the perfectly opportune moment, there's a pivot from folks like Mark Zuckerberg to say, well, you know, we shouldn't silence free speech in the First Amendment. And then all of a sudden we see an uptick in this, you know, what I would call color revolutionary guard of white nationalists, so-called Antifa, so-called Black Lives Matter, so-called, you know, all of these groups that are not representative of the vast majority of the American public. But this is the noise that we hear if we're listening to the mainstream press, and it's ridiculous. So I think we should all step back from that, ensure that cooler heads prevail, and start thinking about what each one of us can do, and maybe what we can do together to put the wrong things right and to hold elected officials accountable and reinstitute good government if we've ever had it. Third hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.